Just a Minute with Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the many listeners we have, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but most importantly to welcome the four exciting, skilled, and exuberant players of the game who have joined me this week. We have two very talented comedians of the younger generation, that is, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes, and we have two great comedy performers of a former generation. Who have been with the show since it first began, and that is Peter Jones and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that as usual without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Grand Opera House in this wonderful ancient city of York. And before us... And everybody knows we have a very exuberant Yorkshire audience in front of us. And we're going to begin the show this week with Tony Hawkes. Tony, the subject I have here is the wrong number. Tell us something about the wrong number in just a minute, starting now.
I hate it when you call someone up and say, "Is that Michael?" And they reply, "I'm sorry, but you've got the wrong number." What are they talking about? I haven't got the wrong number. I've got the same number I've always had. They've got the wrong number. That's why I can't talk to my mate, Mick. Okay, I've dialed the wrong number, but they don't actually say that, and that's a little irritation that I'm glad I shared with you. It's quite important to get the right number if you can. They say two's company, three's a crowd, 80,000 is a Wembley Cup final, and that's not ideal for an intimate evening. So you want to get the right kind of...
And Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of right.
Right. He did say right before. So, Clement, there are 24 seconds available, starting now.
When fire broke out, I went to the telephone and dialed 987. It was the only thing I could do because the number between 6 and 12 is something I couldn't repeat.
Paul Merton challenged.
It's a bit vague, isn't it? A number between 6 and 12. There's several numbers between 6 and 12. 10, 11, he hasn't said those.
No, he didn't indicate that. He indicated to me that it was one of the numbers between 6 and 12 that he didn't want
to
repeat.
When he said the number, you thought he meant the numbers.
I had to make these difficult decisions. I thought he meant the number which followed 9 on this 999 call, which he was endeavouring to call because he wanted the fire brigade to come. So I do think he made it clear to me that that was a particular number he was trying to avoid, which was 9. So I give him the benefit of the doubt and say...
Well, the only doubt is in your mind.
And that's been in doubt for many years, but I still got the job. But Clement, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have an incorrect challenge, a point for that. You keep the subject. 9 seconds are available. The wrong number starting now.
When you go to a Chinese restaurant and you order a dish by number...
Tony Hawk's challenged.
I just want to know who came when he rang 987.
Occasionally what I do, so we have a lovely comment like that, I give them a bonus point because we enjoyed it, in which, of course, it's Tony Hawkes, a bonus point to him. Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He has 3 seconds to continue with the wrong number, starting now.
They say the long number, which is...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. Peter Jones, would you take the next round? Sticking my neck out is the subject. It's a good subject. Please talk on it if you can. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, it comes from sort of gallows humour. You may remember Dr. Samuel Palmer, the poisoner, who not only was a member of the medical profession, but also killed people by giving them poison. And he was eventually hanged, and when he climbed the steps of the scaffold and put his foot on the trap door, he said to the hangman, "Are you sure this is safe?" A lot of people on the scaffold put their head...
Tony Hawk's challenged.
Repetition of scaffold.
You had the scaffold before, Peter, yeah, I'm afraid.
Did.
Yes, you did.
Too long ago.
Tony, you're correct. Challenge a point to you, 21 seconds. You tell us something about sticking my neck out starting now.
I'm always sticking my neck out. For instance, not that long ago during the Wimbledon fortnight, I put £100,000 on Tim Henman to win. And we all remember what an exciting event that was. And I just can't remember whether he did it or not.
Paul, you challenge.
Repetition of remember.
You can't remember too much, I'm afraid. Yes. Paul, you have the correct challenge, and you have the subject now, sticking my neck out, and you have 8 seconds starting now.
In my career as a professional tortoise impressionist, I used to stick my neck out every Wednesday at the Alhambra, Bradford, which is one of the finest.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went with his tortoise shell coming out like that. Gained that extra point, and he's now equal to Tony Hawks in second place. Clement Floyd still in the lead, and Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is testing times. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
In a commercial chicken plant, testing times is when the giblets are put into a bag inside the animal. And... DNA is the only way that you can be sure that the heart, liver, and neck within the carcass of the bird are actually those of the plumaged animal in question.
Paul Merton challenged.
Sadly, repetition of animal.
And, sadly, I was delighted you stopped him. I mean... Paul, I agree with the challenge. 34 seconds. Testing times starting now.
When I sat my A-level history, it was a retake, which, you know, is repetition, I suppose. But I did it because I hadn't passed the first time. And I'm afraid to say, and I'm admitting it now, I cheated in my A-level history.
Oh, Clement Floyd. Oh, right. Peter, you challenged then. Why?
Well, he repeated it.
I know, but Clement got in first.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm afraid Clement got in first. 22 seconds, testing times. Clement starting now.
What have you given me the point for?
Did you challenge first?
What did I challenge for?
Is it soup tonight? No.
I'm allowed to make one complete mess up. I wouldn't use the word cock here because it's in Yorkshire. And of course I did then. I made a complete mess of the whole thing. It was Paul Merton who challenged Clement Floyd. And, wasn't that right?
That definitely is a cock up.
No. I was speaking and I challenged Clement.
Because you were talking about the testing times you had at school trying to get through your A-levels history at the second attempt. So I was listening. And you pressed your buzzer, Clement, and so you came in first, and I was correct, and somebody's winding me up.
So you work on clockwork at last.
So, Clement, what was your challenge?
Repetition of A-levels.
Well, the audience realised you were correct. So, Clement, you have 20 seconds. Take back testing times starting now.
When South Africa, Australia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Kenya, and any other nation which wishes to play international cricket play at Lord's or the Oval, it is a test.
A Paul challenge.
Didn't you have two plays?
No,
we've been
playing and playing.
Played the first time and plays. Yes.
There's a few people out here who don't think that's the case. Did anybody record this? Because we play it back, we could work it out now.
Paul, it was an incorrect challenge. 7 seconds, still on testing times. Clement, starting now.
So testing times have to do with batting...
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
I think it was a hesitation. So you got him with 4 seconds to go on testing times starting now.
So the Wright brothers...
Clement Floyd Park.
That was hesitation.
Rubbish. He hadn't even been going for half a second.
Well, repetition of my hesitation.
There was a second and a half. I've got it in front of me here, my little stopwatch. You have 3.5 seconds on testing times, Paul, starting now.
Two chickens walk into a pub and the first one says, "Excuse me, I would like a large..."
Well, it was testing times for Paul Merton. And Paul, it is your turn to begin. The subject is a close shave. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
First, there was the razor. Then the twin blade.
Peter Jones's challenge.
First, there was the beard.
Pete, it was a lovely comic. But he didn't. I mean, he didn't actually deviate in that sense, Peter. But we did love the comment. So a bonus point to you, a point to Paul Merton because he was interrupted. 56 seconds available, Paul. A close shave starting now.
I have a three-bladed instrument at home that cuts beautifully. It's a recent invention. You may have seen it advertised. And I heartily recommend it because the technology tells...
Tony Hawks?
How do you heartily recommend something?
Heartily.
You did say heartily instead of heartily.
Did I? Just because I've got a speech impediment, I don't...
They are
see why
so...
they should count against me.
They are so keen to get their points, but I suppose you could say that was a deviation from English as we know it and normally speak it. I agree with your challenge, Tony. A close shave, 46 seconds, starting now.
I had a close shave about a year ago. I was travelling up...
Paul Merton challenge.
Clearly it wasn't today.
That's a nice comment. You got another bonus point over there to Paul Merton. But Tony, you keep the subject and a point for being interrupted. 42 seconds, a close shave, starting now.
I was making my way by train to a place called Annick, where we were going to do a recording of Just a Minute. And I failed to get off the train at the right...
A Clement Freud challenge.
Two trains.
Right. It's a pity, it's a good story. tell it at the end. Clement, correct challenge. 30 seconds available. A close shave starting now.
Sir Henry Newbolt wrote about a close. There's a breathless hush in the close tonight. Tend to make in a match to win. A bumping pitch and a blinding night. An hour to play and the last man in. I won't go on much with this, but a close is a piece of territory which is enclosed, probably by a fence or some other...
A Paul Merton challenge.
We haven't quite established a close shave.
No, it's... we're now talking about a close, a little close
coming
to that.
To the shave in a moment.
Well, we only have a minute, Clement.
You went... So I give it to Paul, and still you've got 8 seconds, Paul. A close shave starting now.
Aboard Apollo 13, the three astronauts there could be described as people experiencing a close shave. If you saw the film, you will know they're...
Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle wind gained that extra point for doing so and has increased his lead at the end of that round. Tony Hawks, your turn. And this subject is a long one, but it's a delightful one, I think. The best way to eat spaghetti. 60 seconds starting now.
This is something of a moot point, because there are lots of ways, obviously, to eat spaghetti, and someone might argue one was better than the other. I think someone might say that by having it on the body of a beautiful woman and eating it off would be the best way. My feeling, however...
Paul Merton challenge.
Too messy.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
Might be messy, but it's not deviating from the subject. So,
well, I don't think it's the best way to eat spaghetti.
Well, if you are, if you're
if you're an international toy boy like Tony Hawks, then obviously this is one of his fetishes. And to him, it's the best way. So I have to go with that idea, Tony. Another point to you. 43 seconds.
Oops. Did you say international toy boy?
Yes. 43 seconds. He's starting to work out already. The best way to eat spaghetti, Tony, starting now.
And the beauty of it is you don't have to do any washing up either. If you really want to, of course, you could make that fun too. I went to an Italian restaurant many years ago. It was quite embarrassing. I was sat...
Peter Jones challenge.
Did you take this woman with you?
Your mind's been working overtime like mine, Peter. Like, Peter, a bonus point to Peter, because we enjoyed his comment then, but Tony wasn't deviating from the best way to eat spaghetti, so 32 seconds for you, Tony, with another point starting now.
And I wanted to impress her so I could take her back to my flat and do something interesting with spaghetti. However, eating it in the formal manner in which I was on this occasion, some of it got caught in my teeth, and I was also trying to suck it up.
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of eating.
Yes, he was eating a bit too much there, yes. It was, some of it was getting indigestion, actually. The, 16 seconds for you, Peter, to tell us something about the best way to eat spaghetti starting now.
Well, just prod it with a fork and twirl it round until you've got a neat ball at the end, and then transfer it carefully to your mouth, whereupon you can chew it to your heart's content. And if it's al dente, as it should be, it takes slightly longer than if it's soggy and...
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so, and he has leapt forward in that round. He's still in fourth place, but he is only 1 point behind Tony Hawks. He's only 2 points behind Clement Freud, but out in the lead still is Paul Merton. But Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is a moonlight flit. I don't know whether you've done one, but tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
No, I haven't done one, and I wouldn't dream of it, because if you flit at moonlight, then everybody can see you. It's a ridiculous a ridiculous time to leave. Much better to wait until it's got quite dark, only a matter of a few days, and then you can slip out into the Pantechnicon, or whatever vehicle you've engaged, to take your belongings, and wait until the landlord or proprietor of the establishment you're trying to get away from is asleep, and then go. That's the best thing to do. I can't say much more about it, but...
Clement Freud came in first, which is you, Miss, is hesitation, or have you got any other challenge?
Charity.
No, because he went for 23 seconds and we enjoyed it. So Moonlight Fit is now with you, Clement. 23 seconds available, starting now.
I think the most important thing about a Moonlight Fit is to have reasonable food in hand for the journey. And spaghetti is excellent. The best way to eat spaghetti is...
Paul Merton Chalice.
Repetition of Beautiful Woman. Sorry, of spaghetti.
Of spaghetti, yes, right. Paul, the correct challenge, 10 seconds. A moonlight flit, starting now.
Well, of course, there was no lock on the outside toilet door, so I didn't know what to do. So in the end, I happened to find a torch, and I realised that I borrowed it off the man next door, and in fact...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Grammar.
What grammar?
You don't borrow off.
Paul, it was an incorrect challenge. In speech, that's how we go, and you've got half a second to go on. A moonlight flit starting now.
It ain't necessarily so.
So Paul Merton has increased his lead at the end of that round, and Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is summer season. Tell us something about summer season, starting now.
The extraordinary thing about our summer season, be it Ascot, Lords, Wimbledon or Henley, is that it rains. It is wet, damp, sodden. Go where you will. Keats, a poet, wrote Season of Mists and Mellow Fruitfulness. He was not referring to summer. It was season after summer.
Paul Merton Chalice.
Meditation, I'm
afraid. I think so, Paul, yes. So you have 39 seconds to tell us something about summer season, starting now.
The summer season is the best time to spot Tony Hawk's international toy boy, as he wanders up and down the boulevards, catching the eyes of the ladies, playing a bit of tennis in the park, perhaps wandering out on the links and playing the ancient game of golf. What a wonderful figure he cuts. The women look at him. Their hearts beat in their breasts. They can't believe it. Is it Tony Blair?
Who? Oh, what a pity you had to repeat, Tony, because they were enjoying it, weren't they? 18 seconds. You tell us something about summer season, Tony Hawk, starting now.
I did a marvellous summer season in Blackpool whilst...
Peter Jones challenged.
Boasting.
It's never been one of the rules of Just a Minute that you're not allowed to boast.
No, but who else would say I did a marvelous summer heat?
So anybody who can say he's an international toy boy could boast about that. Did a marvelous season. So, Peter, we enjoyed the challenge.
Well, he doesn't claim to be one. All he has claimed is to eat spaghetti off beautiful women's bodies.
Well, if that's not boasting, I don't know what is.
He might not have any plates. Might be a plea of poverty.
Anyway, you're allowed to boast in Just a Minute if you can get away with it. 14 seconds, summer season with you, Tony, starting now. And who's challenged? Paul.
He's never done a summer season at Blackpool.
I don't think he has either. I don't know for
hang
sure.
On. Well, hang on, for the sake of argument, I have.
All right.
For the sake of argument, you haven't.
Yeah, but I mean, all right, I haven't.
Paul Merton, you have a correct challenge. 13 seconds, summer season, starting now.
I once went to see a show at Blackpool about 1983. It starred Lenny Henry and David Copperfield, not the American magician, but an English comedian who was then appearing quite a lot on television. And it was a fantastic show. It was a...
Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, so gained an extra point for doing so. And, Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject... The Shambles. Tell us something about the Shambles in 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I've heard of them, and I believe they used to house the abattoir for York, and it must have been one of the most attractive attractions that they had in this town, which is renowned for its bawdy houses and dens of iniquity of it all kinds. And I guess people used to flock to this, to see the animals being slaughtered, and then perhaps take bits home and cook them. As far as I remember.
Clement, you challenged.
That's hesitation.
I think it was hesitation.
Was it?
Yes. The audience don't think it was. So, Clement, do you wish to forego your challenge?
Yes.
All right. You've won this audience back in a flash, Clement. And they want Peter Jones. Will you continue, having another point, for 26 seconds on the Shambles, starting now?
These gambling dens and places that I've mentioned were always fronted with very respectable-looking houses, so that only people in the underworld, whom I know very few, but they knew that things were going on inside, including this ritual slaughter that's happening. And I suppose it appeals to somebody.
So Peter Jones, much to the audience's pleasure and with the help of Clement Freud, staggered on, shambled on to the end. On the subject of the Shambles, and gained that extra point for doing so. But all that hard work only brought you 2 points, Peter. But anyway, we loved hearing from you. That's very nice. So we have time for one more round. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a good bedside manner. Will you go on that subject, if you can, for 60 seconds, starting now?
Dr. Crippen had a particularly good bedside manner. Never did he visit a patient without bringing chocolates and flowers, sitting on the sofa or chair by the side of the bed and reciting poetry, asking after the patient's children.
Paul Merton challenge.
It's not to me a sign of a good doctor that he comes round and recites poetry at you. I would expect
chocolate.
A physical examination. Yeah. I think it's deviation. I think that's good medical practice.
No, and also bringing the chocolates, I agree, would not be good medical practice.
But we're not talking about medical practice.
A good bedside manner we were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good bedside manner. My father was a doctor. He'd never take a box of chocolates to his patients.
He never would do. He was too good a doctor to do that.
Of course he was. Excellent bedside manner.
He was proud of his bedside manner. You tell him, Nicholas. Yes, tell him.
Well, I'm with Clemens on this one. I think it's a very good bedside manner to turn up. I don't think you should be allowed to get away
with it. What happens if your patient's got diabetes? Fill him up with chocolates.
Well, you get...
Oh, he's allergic to flowers.
Yes.
If he can come up with a rhyme for diabetes, he's a bloody good poet.
Peter, a Hawley Harley Crippin,
yes,
of whom I've made a lifelong study, never made house visits. Of course, the patients had to go to his surgery, where usually they were operated on for some dental problem, because he was primarily a dentist. And in any case, his wife, Belle...
Deviation, yes. The deviation, because you didn't actually have the subject, Peter.
Well, give him the subject so he can carry on.
Well, you want it. Can you want to get that Peter? Yeah. Right, give it to Peter.
I think it's a great idea just to randomly start talking to him. I'm going to do it in my life from now on.
It's a new way.
I agree with Tony, and I'm randomly starting. I'm carrying on from Tony, yeah. So how much longer have I got left?
Position of Tony.
Tony, right. It's a new way of playing the game, but you won't get away with it more than once. But, Peter, they've let you get away with it this time. You've got a point then for being interrupted when you hadn't got the subject. And Paul Merton says he doesn't want the subject back, even though he's entitled to have it. And there are 33 seconds available for a good bedside manner with you, Peter, starting now.
His wife was Belle Elmore, a third-rate music hall singer. But he was having an affair with a younger person. And he managed to show his flair for bedside manners in her company, because to be able to have a manner that is appealing beside the bed is a tremendous advantage once you get into the bed.
Well, that particular flourish of Peter Jones's, taking the subject arbitrarily without any permission, and going so magnificently, and finishing up with that delightful image of getting into the bed, having had the bedside manner to seduce the lady from beside the bed, brought not only that round to a close, so he got a bonus point for speaking with the whistle wind, but also has brought the show to a close, alas. Let me give you the final situation, because Peter, with that last final flourish, leapt forward. He really did leap this time. And he's finished up with Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. They're all three equal in second place, but way out ahead by quite a few points. This week is Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you're the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four clever and exciting players of the game, that is Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Peter Jones and Clement Freud. I also thank Jane Gibson for helping with the score and blowing the whistle so well. We also thank Ian Messiter, who created the game and keeps us all so happy playing it, and particularly our producer, Chris Neal. And also I'd love to thank this marvellous audience here who've egged us on the wave magnificently. We thank you from the audience, from the panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
At the same time next week, Just a Minute comes from the Oxford Union.